Now, before we do that, I would like to have a look at the passage that we have read this morning. I'm encouraging you, if you've got your Bibles, please have them open, because ultimately what I have to say is inconsequential compared to what God says in His Word, and that's what we really want to focus on this morning. But I want to look at this passage in three simple ways, just to ask three questions. Who do elders care for? How should they care? And why should they care? And then to finish, we're going to look at our part, how we can help them in their work. So those three simple questions: who should elders care for, how should they do it, and why should they care? They are the three questions that we're going to be answering this morning. But just as a way of introduction into this passage, let me just point out a couple of things very quickly. First of all, in verse 1, notice that Peter talks to elders, and I want you to notice that it is a plural word, elders. Now, in the church, there is only one chief shepherd. Who is that? That is the Lord Jesus. And we read this morning a passage from the book of Revelation where in the midst of the magnitude, the greatness of heaven, there is one throne in the middle. Who sits on that throne? The Lord Jesus. There is only one chief shepherd in the church, but every time the Bible talks about elders in local churches, it's always in plural. It's a team of elders. Elders need each other. They need help. They need to do the work of caring together. So that's the first very quick observation. The second is that in this passage that we've read this morning, the three words, elders, shepherds, or elders, pastors, and bishops, they're all used in this same passage. They all appear in 1 Peter chapter 5. And they're all referring to the same group of people, the same leaders. So the elders are shepherds, the shepherds are bishops or overseers, and it is like the three aspects of the same function. Three ways to look at the work of elders. And then my last, just very quick comment that I want to make before we answer these questions is I want you to notice, and this sets the tone for the whole of this section. I want you to notice the tone with which Peter addresses the elders. Notice what he says in verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Now just stop there for a moment. Who is writing? Who's writing these words? The apostle? Peter. Read through any of the gospels and who is normally listed first out of all the apostles? It's Peter. And yet notice the humility with which Peter addresses the elders. He doesn't say, now listen up, you lot, I am the Apostle Peter, the first on the list. Read any of the Gospels and you'll find me there at the top. No, he doesn't speak like that. In fact, he doesn't even at this point mention his apostleship, does he? He doesn't throw that one in and say, just want to remind you that I'm an apostle, so you better listen to me. Notice the basis of his appeal. He says, I appeal as a fellow elder. That's beautiful. Not lording it over the ones that he's writing to, but he's in gentleness and humility. He's coming along beside them and he's saying, guys, I'm doing this work as well and I want to appeal to you and I want to encourage you. And I want to tell you that I know what it's like to be an elder. And so that is the basis on which the Apostle Peter speaks these words. All right, so let's have a look briefly at these three questions that we're asking from the passage. Who do elders care for? Now, notice in verse 2 that the Apostle Peter says, be shepherds of God's flock. Now, that's very important because elders are looking after God's flock. It's not their flock. They can't do with the flock what they want because this flock belongs to God. It's God's flock because God, through the Lord Jesus, has purchased his flock at a great price. He poured out his blood, he laid down his life, and through the laying down of his life, he purchased for himself a people. God loves his flock. And so elders need to remember that who are they caring for? They're caring for God's sheep. They're caring for God's flock. And then notice in the same verse, verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. And then it says a little bit further down in verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you. So this is God's flock that has been entrusted to elders. What that means is that elders will one day be called to an account. They'll be asked by God, how did you look after my flock at Wynnum? You'll notice that it's the flock that's been entrusted to the elders, and it's the flock that is to be under their care. Now, the elders here at Wynnum are responsible for the flock at Wynnum. They will look after other Christians, but primarily their work is to care for and to look after the sheep of God's flock who are here at Wynnum Christian Community Church. So who do elders look after? They look after God's flock. And as they do their work, our prayer this morning for the elders is that they would constantly remember that the people that they are looking after, the sheep that they are looking after, they belong to Jesus. And in Jesus' eyes, they are very, very, very precious. So that's the first question. Who do they care for? The second question is, how should they care for the flock? Notice that in verse 2, the primary commandment that Peter is giving is in verse 2, be shepherds, pastor God's flock that is under your care. And then he spells it out, watching over them, and he gives three ways in which this ought to take place. He gives a negative, and then he gives a positive. How it shouldn't happen, but then he gives us an example, the example of how it must happen. So let's have a look at these three little couplets that Peter gives in verse 2 as to how elders are to watch over God's flock that has been entrusted to them. First of all, they should not do it because out of a sense of obligation, not because you must, but here's the positive, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. So God wants elders to look after the flock because they want to do it, because they desire to do it, because they're willing to do it. Not because, oh my goodness, I've got to do this. And if I don't, then I don't know, people are going to say stuff about me. No, that is not the attitude. The attitude, the heart ought to be that elders watch over the flock because they're willing to do so. It's a desire that God has placed in their hearts. They want to do it. They want to do it well. They want to do it well because God wants them to do it. So it's not out of obligation or duty, but it's out of willingness and desire. Here's the second way they're supposed to watch. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Now, the dishonest gain, there's a whole range of different things that this could be alluding to. It could be to money. It could be to prestige. There's a whole way in which people can use leadership for the wrong reasons. But Peter flips the coin, and he gives to us the way in which elders ought to care. They should do it in a way in which they are eager to serve. You remember on the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, what did he do? He took a towel, he took a basin of water, and he knelt at his disciples' feet and he washed their feet. And they could not comprehend that the Lord and Master would actually do this to them. And then he says to them, if I have done this to you as your Lord and Master, then you ought to do this for one another. Elders ought to care for the flock that God has entrusted to them because they are eager to serve, because they want to serve. And then thirdly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. Not throwing your weight around. Not I'm the boss here, so you listen to me. But it's a leadership through example, through influence, by being examples to the flock. This is where Peter's appeal in verse 1 kind of sets the scene or sets the tone for all of these verses that we've read this morning. Peter doesn't come in throwing around his weight, doesn't say, here, I'm an apostle here, you need to listen to me. No, he comes alongside and he says, as a fellow elder, I want you to listen to me. And it's exactly the same in verse 2, not lording it over, but by being examples. Through influence, through example, through godly living, showing to the church what it means to follow Jesus. So how should elders look after the church? They should do it willingly, because that's what God wants them to do. They should do it as servants, not trying to gain for themselves anything but just the privilege of serving, and not lording it over those entrusted to them, but being examples to the flock. Now, the third question is, why? Why should elders do this work? In verse 4, gives a tremendous encouragement to elders. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now there is a reward for shepherds, for good elders. When the chief shepherd appears and accounts need to be given to, there will be a reward. You will receive a crown of glory. Now, whenever we find the word crown in the Bible, whenever we see it used, there's two sides to it. One is it has an aspect of suffering. Go back to verse 1 for a moment. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. So notice these two aspects that Peter talks about. He talks about suffering and he talks about glory. Whenever the Bible talks about crowns, it's always referring to these two aspects, to suffering and to glory. Now, there are moments in the work of elders where there is suffering, where there is hardship, where there are complicated and difficult things. But elders should always remember that ultimately, as they do their work well, there is the hope of a crown of glory, of a reward that will never, ever fade away. Now, the final question before we pray that I want to quickly answer is, how can we as a church family help the elders in their shepherding work? Notice what it says in verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, I want you to notice the words that are used. It's very, 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 very particular, the words that are used. It says, submit yourselves. It's a decision that each member in the church must make. Peter doesn't say to the elders, you need to subject people to you. It says to the church, you need to submit yourselves to your elders. Now, we don't do that blindly, but we do it willingly. And it's something that we all need to decide to do. In the, I think it's Tim Challis that says that, he says that both our submission to others and our leadership over others have been muddled, or they've been messed up by the fall, by sin. And so he distinguishes very wisely between submission, the voluntary arranging ourselves under legitimate authority, and subjection, differentiates submission to subjection, where people are coerced by fear or force to obey a ruler. He goes on to say that the consistent instruction of the Bible is that the one under authority must submit to those over him. Foreign to the Bible is that the one with authority must force the subjection of those under him. So many of our problems arise when sin impacts both sides of this dynamic. So how do we help our elders to do their work of shepherding and caring? Well, Peter says we do it by submitting ourselves to their care. He goes on to say, all of you, and that means both elders and those who are not elders, he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due course or in due time. So there are some wonderful words of encouragement here, both for Darren and for Rod this morning, but there are some wonderful words of encouragement for us, the church family here at Wynnum. Our prayer this morning is that God would help Darren and Rod and the other elders of the church to shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to them. And at the same time, our prayer this morning ought to be that we would do our part to make their work easier. We can either make their work difficult, or we can make it easier. And so we want to pray for them, and we want to pray for ourselves this morning.